Hello and welcome to the Coach Ed Conversations podcast series from Growth Coaching International. My name is Richard Reid, my co-host is Dan Steele, and together we invite you to listen in to our conversations each month as part of GCI's monthly Coach Ed update. If you tuned in to our last episode on the topic of goal setting, welcome back. It's great to have you. Equally, if this is your first episode, Dan and I are delighted that you have decided to listen in today. We trust it will be of interest to you and help you move things forward as you further your own understanding of coaching and education and how it applies to your individual setting. As before, Dan and I will follow a set structure where we will discuss our chosen topic under the following three headings: discovery, what have we noticed? Impact, why does it matter? And next steps, what has become clearer? Our hope is that these Coach Ed conversations will spark some thinking for you as an educator. So without further ado, Dan, what's our topic for discussion today?
Richard Reid, what a wonderful introduction. Gee, I think if I'm the listener, I'm completely hooked. I'm in. So today we thought, given that when we're releasing this, it's at the start of an academic school year for a number of countries, and it's also a really key topic that we hear a lot about, and that is building coaching cultures. So I'm really excited to dig into this, actually starting to think about, well, what does that actually mean, and just what are we noticing currently about it, what could it look like, and what are some things that are currently relevant for us. But building coaching cultures, Richard, is the key topic.
Fantastic topic. So kick us off. What have you noticed recently, Dan, on that particular thing?
It's interesting. So I, back in 2015, I think I first got access to Ron Richart's work on cultures of thinking. So at the time then, it was a really, well, for me, it was really groundbreaking. It's really focused on helping shift the idea of like work versus learning. So really trying to empower students. But in that, he talks about there were eight cultural forces. So I guess as I was thinking of coaching cultures, what I've noticed so often is it can be a really helpful framework for leaders and coaches to think about the different levers. Now, I'm glad we've got video because I'm pulling now. So if anyone's watching, just imagine me, or if you're listening, I'm pulling on eight different levers that you might consider that might help you tweak and foster and support the development of a coaching culture. So I thought if it's helpful, Richard, I just thought I'd really lightly touch on the eight. I'd really recommend even his book, Cultures of Thinking. I know we're talking about coaching cultures, but for me, I think the key ones there, the eight are around expectations. So what are our expectations? I've noticed it's expectations and beliefs. So what is it that we think and expect from coaching? A lot of the time we notice it's about people thinking they might be fixing people instead of a strengths-based approach of supporting and developing them. So expectations and beliefs. Then the other one is language. So the words that we're choosing to use when we're either talking about language, talking about growth, talking about learning, talking about development. So the words that we choose to use as coaches and leaders trying to support a coaching culture, that really can either enhance or it can inhibit a coaching culture from emerging. The next one is time. I mean, that makes sense. So often anyone that's working in coaching, I just saw that smile that you gave too. It's really critical that if we want this to occur, we need to build in structured time for it and also privileged time for it in order for it to occur. So that's another cultural force that Ron Richart talks about. His is more around, say, instructional. So that work around teaching and learning. So but this one, I've tried to translate it for when we think about our work with coaching. Then the next one's modeling. So for me, you know, so often when we're working with teachers, we're modeling instructional practices. But with coaching cultures, for me, what I've noticed can be really powerful is when you're in a coaching conversation, you're actually modeling that way of being, that disposition, you're modeling the skills, even in staff rooms and workshops that I used to run with my staff. I used to be really keenly aware that I was modeling this way of being and this way that we're talking, because my hope was, if people saw me working as a partner or someone that was trying to facilitate and get them thinking, they might then come and knock on the door and start to engage in some further work with coaching or ask more about it.
Yeah.
So modeling is another cultural force. And then opportunities. So it's that we're using any sort of opportunity where there's growth or the ability for something to occur. So instead of, I guess it's a way for you to stop things getting done to staff. So instead of we're talking about looking for opportunities in conversations, opportunities for coaching to occur. You're probably thinking about Chris Munro's lovely new book, Growth Talk, where he's talking about all the different conversations, like every day when I was an assistant principal or working in schools, there's so many opportunities where you can bring a coaching approach that, again, models that way of being. So opportunities is another force that you can play with, another cultural force you can play with. And then there's routine. So I was thinking of, instead of classroom routines, I was thinking of the routine of what it looks like when I'm in coaching people. So that could be formally or informally. So as they become more familiar with the coaching, I would notice that people came in really comfortable. At first, when they started in coaching, they seemed really hesitant. Now, again, we're on video, so, you know, people, their shoulders might be a bit more up, or, you know, they seemed a bit hesitant. But once they became clear around like what the routine of a coaching cycle entailed or a coaching conversation, suddenly though, I noticed a really big difference with them. So that routine is another cultural force that I've been aware of, like tweaking and applying, and me being aware as a coach or someone trying to lead coaching in schools. And then finally, the last two are around interactions. So it makes sense. I think Mark McCurgo, solutions-focused coaching, he talks about the actions in the interaction. So we can read all we want about coaching, but if we want coaching cultures to emerge and become real and authentic in our schools or our settings, you have to have those interactions. You actually need to be aware of the way that you're showing up and conversing with people. And then finally, it's the environment. So in Ron Richard, they're talking more about the learning environments that we're putting in place for students. So the way that I used to tweak this was thinking about, even if staff came in, where were we having the coaching conversations? What was that looking like? Was it in a really busy open space in the middle of the staff room? Well, that's probably not a helpful environment. So being aware of what are the needs or what are the things we need to put in place for that adult learner or that other person that's being coached in that moment. And sometimes you can make those tweaks. I've found and I've noticed over my time, the environment can be a really quick win, because sometimes, like, to be honest, I mucked up pretty early on where I got someone to come into my office to be coached. Now, instantly there was a big power imbalance, it felt like, and I realized the conversation didn't go that well. Whereas suddenly if I changed it and opened it up to a quieter space where they got to choose the environment, suddenly the conversations went a lot better. So I'd say those eight cultural forces, that's been something that I've noticed has been really, really helpful. And it's a nice way if you're working in an education setting. If someone's familiar with that work already, it can already be a bit of a mental model or a framework that they can then transfer and translate to help them.
Yeah. I think it's really useful, Dan, to be able to reference material like that. And folks who are listening or watching are going to appreciate that. So we've got eight forces or eight levers, okay, which is what you've noticed. And thanks for, you know, giving a lovely overview of all eight. And that's going to get people thinking. So I'm going to ask the question. So if that's what you've noticed, let's ask the question, why does that matter?
Why does it matter? Because every conversation with every single person is different. So when I'm coaching a principal, an assistant principal, a middle leader, a teacher, a system leader, so it's a really helpful framework, because for every single one of them, and even depending on the conversation I have with them during a coaching cycle, things have changed. So for every single one of them, one or two of those cultural forces might be something that they can really focus on, or something that becomes an epiphany. It's also, as a coaching cycle, why does it matter? As a coaching cycle continues, they gain better understanding for each of them, and they get a deeper understanding of each one. So suddenly they start to really think critically. And I've actually noticed people turn up to conversations already having thought about, oh, this is the one that I really need to focus on. So it almost drives some of their goals and what they're really looking for that vision. So it's a nice way to individualize and personalize it based on their setting, themselves, their group, their people that they're supporting in their context.
Yeah. I love that idea when you're talking about it almost, well, you're talking about structure. And I think that's something that's really useful when it comes to coaching conversations. You know, there needs to be a really good structure in there, and the person you're working with will respond well to a structure. And similar to, you know, developing or evolving coaching cultures, there needs to be a structure. And I like that idea of having those eight different forces in some way, you know, of having something to refer back to at different stages. And you mentioned something as well there, I was scribbling away there, Dan, you know, this idea of changing. Yes, the person will have changed since the last conversation, and those are things to be conscious of. But even the school itself, you know, what's going on within the school will have changed, you know, from 1 week to the next week, one term to the next term. And that's got to be taken into consideration as well when we're talking about evolving coaching cultures in many ways. So if we think about that, you know, And yes, so obviously it does matter. And thank you for articulating those thoughts. If we're thinking about then, well, next steps, people are listening, you know, what has become clear for you as you've thought through those points? You know, what can people take away from those thoughts?
Yeah, that's a really important part. This is what I'm excited about with these podcasts is we can talk theory and then we start to say, so what? Like, so what is it we actually need to do to go put this into action? From what I've learned with playing around with these anecdotally, but then also, I guess, within coaching conversations, start by looking. The great thing about these is it can make something really invisible, intangible, a bit more concrete, but start by noticing what's working really well. So instead of doing the classic human thing where we try and focus on all the things we need to correct or tweak or refine and improve, focus on what's already in place, what's already working really well. You might go talk to some of your leadership team. You might talk to certain groups, certain learners, because you want to make sure you get different voices so you get different perspectives. Because if you just bring your perspective, it's probably not that helpful all the time. So you try and find out what's already working well. And then at the same time, you can then go to that next step where you then start to say, so if this was working even better, or if this was more effective between now and say the end of 2026 or the end of 2027, or you might just say over the next 10 weeks, what's something we might notice that would be different that would help the school? And by doing that, people will naturally tell you some really helpful insights, and then you could probably align one of them or the themes that emerge from the responses to a certain cultural force. And then you might just dial that up. I think for me, there's a power in that because it's not you then coming to say, this is what we're doing. Because a lot of the time, I'm not sure if it's similar to you, but people sometimes think with coaching cultures, right, we're going to implement, we're going to do a coaching culture. But the tricky part is it has to emerge, and it has to emerge through the people. So by engaging with the different people, finding out what's working well, what's that next step for them that they see, you can collate them, identify that key next step, and then you can feed it back to them. Based on what you've all said, this is some of the key things that we're trying to focus on.
Super helpful. And I think, you know, for folks, because we've got a lot of different people listening to this or watching this who are at very different stages. I mean, over the years, I've had the privilege of interviewing a lot of folks on the main podcast who have, you know, 7, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 years of, you know, evolving coaching culture in their school. And that's really good, solid stuff. But folks who are maybe just, you know, dipping their toes in the water, thinking about where might I start, I think this is going to be really helpful for them, not to bite off more than they can chew, but in many ways to see this, you used the word emerging. This has got to be something that's emerging. And those have been really super helpful comments that you've shared with us, Dan.
Richard, can I just quickly jump in? It's a great point about someone might be in a setting where there's a coaching culture that's really consolidated and it's there. I think the thing that I've also noticed with that too, though, is people leave settings. So once that happens, the culture can shift too. I mean, sometimes there's a really strong culture, it just stays the same. But especially if certain leaders, certain, and they might be formal leaders or informal leaders without a title, but if certain champions leave, that does impact the culture. So I think regardless, it can be a really helpful way of you either spotting some changes or things that are working well too. So, because I think sometimes we think that it's already established, it's already there, and that's it. We sort of go hands off.
Superb. So listen, I'm going to jump in at this stage and fire into the mix my thoughts.
Yes, Richard Reid, what are you noticing? Let's hear from the man himself. Richard Reid, what are you noticing?
We're building this up, Dan. I'm going to have to live up to this. But genuinely, I mean, when you shared the topics that we're going to look at, you know, over the next whatever number of months, and I looked at this one, I thought, wow, this is massive. I mean, this is huge. And chatting beforehand, we could talk about this until Christmas next year and only really have scratched the surface. And that's no bad thing. But today we're going to try and, I suppose, unpick a few things. You've shared those 8 forces, which I think is really, really useful for folks. Whenever I start to think about coaching cultures, I suppose my mind went back to 2023, so the November edition of GCI Insights magazine. And that particular issue, the theme was coaching cultures. And again, we'll reference that in the notes so folks can have a look at that. And I would encourage people, if you're watching or listening, do take a bit of time and click on that link and spend a bit of time reading through that issue. There's a lot of fantastic articles in there. But one thing I was asked for that particular issue was to put together some sort of an article, and I was given a fairly sort of blank canvas to do with what I wanted, which I love to do. And I thought, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a go at a sketch note. And folks, you know, who don't know what sketchnoting is, basically drawing a picture on the back of an article or whatever it might be that somebody has already produced. And Chris Munro has written, well, extensively on the whole area of coaching cultures, as you and I know, Dan, along with Margaret Barr, Christian van Nieuwenberg, and some other articles as well. And he has actually written in this particular issue of Insights. So I took one of his pieces and put together essentially a sketch note. And as I was putting that together, and I'll not tell you how long it took, oh my word, a lot longer than I thought it was going to take. Writing an article is a little bit easier. As I put that together and I was drawing the pictures literally on this desk in front of me and composing various thoughts, there was one word that came through quite a lot more than others, and it's the word notice. And I mean, the first part of our structure is, what have you noticed? And Chris made the comment that if there is a coaching culture emerging in your school, what are you going to notice? What are you going to notice is different? And thinking about staff, conversations the staff have with each other, conversations with pupils, so pupil to pupil or staff to pupil, conversations where parents are involved as well. It could be school governors. Could even be visitors. So if I come into your school, Dan, and you're telling me we've developed a really good coaching culture or it's emerging, what would I notice in the conversation that goes on that I interact with or that I overhear other folks taking part in as well? So that word notice really struck me. And the other thing as well that Chris mentioned that I alluded to in the sketch note was even the paperwork. So your school development policy, you know, that strategic work that you alongside the school leadership team would work on, very important work, can you see running through the middle of that the thread of coaching or a coaching approach? So for me, that was one thing that I noticed, is if you were to walk into a school tomorrow, a school that says, you know, we've got a coaching culture either up and running or emerging, whatever word you want to put on it, what would I notice in the conversations when I spend a bit of time there?
I think that's a really, I mean, you've gone very meta, haven't you? You've noticed about noticing with that. But that's a really helpful piece because listening to what you've said, it helps people, again, bring a different perspective. So they have to be a visitor or they have to be someone else instead of just bringing their own insight to this too. And you and I both tried out that question before, and you can see it really causes people to pause and have to take a moment to consider it, because you have to remove being yourself and consider from someone else's perspective. So I just jotted that down. I'm like, right, I'm looking forward to trying that out with Coach E in the next month. And so why does that matter? What's the impact of being aware of noticing and the different noticings we can bring?
I think, as you say, it's the breadth of it. You know, I mean, the very term culture itself, you know, beliefs, you know, values, you know, behaviors, those are all massive things. And, you know, if you are developing a culture within an organization, you know, it has to go across everything that you do. And I was listening to an individual talk about a coaching culture in their school recently. And essentially, it was, they were doing one thing, very, very well as far as conversations go, but it was only one small thing. So it was the start of, you know, scratching the surface of developing a coaching culture. It wasn't a coaching culture or anything close to it yet. And I use the word yet in a positive way, because it hadn't just gone across everything they do. And a lovely comment that Chris had made in that Insights article was, you know, we need to move to a stage where coaching is no longer an initiative in the school. And I think in this particular case, whenever I was listening into this conversation, it was still very much an initiative. Yeah. You know, the coaching culture, it's an initiative, it's something that we're doing. And to me, you know, you need to move way, way past that. There needs to be any number of different initiatives have not necessarily come and gone, but they've come and they've been embedded into just the very fabric of what we do. And I think, you know, if you were to walk into a school that claims to have a coaching culture, you know, well up and running, then There are no significant initiatives, as Chris himself would say. It's just the way we talk around here. And that just runs through everything that everybody does. And all those conversations, you know, where things are going well, when things are going badly, if you're managing difficult conversations, if you're having conversations about strategic planning, you know, a coaching approach should run through, in many ways, all the conversations that you have within the organization.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And I think so often what happens is people put it in. So here in Australia, within Victoria, we talk about annual implementation plans. You've got your school strategic plan that lasts for, you know, runs for about 4 years, and then you develop your smaller plan for a 12-month. Sometimes people start just by trying to get the word coaching, building a coaching culture in an AIP, in their annual action plan. But then that's the easiest thing, isn't it? Because you just write three words. And then the key part, I think, is part of the work that Christian Van Nieuwenberg and Helen Gormley did. I think 2014, they did that big literature review of coaching cultures. And the thing then that emerged, like some of the indicators are, you've got sustainable resourcing in place so that coaching can actually work. So once you put those three words in your big school plan, well, who's going to be a resource might be a champion, a key person driving it. It's other resourcing, time, training, internal training, external training. I'm not trying to plug GCI in any way, but you know, sometimes it starts with bringing in the external expertise, but you're doing it so that you can build up that internal expertise. Richard, what do you think then? So what you've noticed about noticing and the power of considering other people's perspectives, what would be some key next steps that you'd recommend for the listener?
I think you touched on a very key word, Dan, was that word sustainable. And I think if you've got a solid culture in any organization, regardless of what the culture is, it's able to withstand the difficult times. It's able to withstand changes in staffing. You mentioned that earlier on, which I think was a very, very valid point. You know, it's able to go through a global pandemic and come out the other side in many ways stronger. So to me, you know, if you want to really test, you know, or a good measure of the coaching culture within your school, it's whenever things aren't going particularly well that I think it thrives. And I'll go back to that word notice. That's when you notice people adopting a coaching approach to their leadership, and in their conversations, in their corridor conversations, in the more formal feedback conversations, in those difficult conversations that our way of being, our way of showing up to all of those different conversations we have, it works through those challenging times. So, you know, for school leaders at the moment who are listening in, it's just such a terrific measure of whether or not you've got something embedded in your school. Will it come out after those challenging times? So to me, that's something that I think is a really good next step. If a school leader's listening to this at the moment and they're wanting to build something really powerful and strong, ultimately, whenever the choppy waters come, that's going to be a great test. So to me, yes, initiatives are really useful and we need to have initiatives, but we need to move beyond that stage where it becomes, again, to use that phrase, this is just the way we talk around here.
That's so lovely. And is it all right if I add in one more that I thought?
Please do.
As you were talking, brought an idea is, if anyone's familiar with the global framework for coaching and mentoring, so we've got those four, you touched on it, those four different areas, or we'd call them sometimes four portals. Something that's worked really well for myself, we did it with our leadership team, but also now doing it sometimes with some different leadership teams in schools. So you might look at each of the four and then you name the different conversations that occur that are relevant to them. So say with, you know, professional practice, so peer-to-peer coaching or professional learning teams or professional learning communities, there might be mentoring conversations that happen, there might be just informal teacher-to-teacher conversations, there might be staff workshops. So all of those are different forms of conversations. Start by mapping out and naming really specifically, what are all the different conversations? Go to the one that you're actually interested in. So go to the portal you're interested in or you think's working well. Name all the different conversations, and then you might spot one that might be the one point of focus that you do. Instead of thinking it can be all-consuming, building a coaching culture can seem so big and long. So zoom in on something quite small that you go, oh, this is the next thing to tweak.
Fantastic. So if we're thinking about the two conversations, or the two elements that have come out from different angles today, Dan, yours and mine, what we've noticed, what from just today's conversation has been a takeaway for you?
I think it's the power of noticing. So I think it's, we know how crazy and dynamic and reactive schools can be every single day. So I think if you can play to that idea of what am I noticing, I think that can be quite freeing from the need to always be responding and jumping on and all the complexity that occurs in a day-to-day. So just what am I noticing and what am I noticing that's working well? So I think that's been a really helpful thing while I was listening to you share. What about yourself?
Yeah, similar. So yes, you mentioned noticing and here's what's running through my head. So you're running a school at the moment. You've been running a number of initiatives and coaching. You're very invested in it. You see it as something that you want to be sustainable. You want it to last the length, you know, of good times and bad times, challenging times. I think a really good measure, if a school leader's listening right now to his or her school's coaching culture, is invite somebody in. Come in and spend a little bit of time with us in our school and tell me what you notice. You know, does it feel like, look like, sound like we have a coaching culture embedded in our school? And I think that's something that would be just really, really lovely to hear somebody from the outside coming in, somebody who's got, you know, no agenda, you know, no vested interest, just come in and notice what's happening in our school. Another conversation, been and gone. For everyone watching or listening, thank you once again for joining us. We do trust, Dan and I, that this conversation has hopefully sparked some thoughts, certainly sparked some thoughts with us, maybe answered some questions, and ideally has increased your curiosity, as Dan said right at the very outset, around coaching cultures in schools. As always, if you'd like to find out more about the topic, we will include a link to that insights issue and indeed coaching in general. Please do check out our website, growthcoaching.com.au, for other podcasts, other articles, and as always, much, much more. Dan and I look forward to joining you all on our next episode of Coach Ed Conversations. See you then.